Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
It's funny when you're sitting this way, you only see four people, and suddenly you turn around and there's a crowd. So I'm glad that you've come this morning. It's good to be here and to be able to share God's word with you, and also to bring to you the greetings of our Methodist people in the local area, both on the Lurgan Methodist circuit and from particularly the people in High Street Methodist this morning. Your minister, as Carlton has said, Simon was with us this morning, and I'm praying that God will too use him to speak to our folk. It's really good when the body of Christ comes together and at times like this, and we remind ourselves that we are part of something big, something wonderful. And it's just a privilege for all of us just to be here and to worship the living Lord and to listen to what he's wanting to say to us through his word. So let us pray. And so just may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, you will know that worship, or at least I hope you know that worship, is much more than what you do on a Sunday morning. It's more than the singing that we've just done. It's more than our praying. It's more even than our reading and our meditating upon what the Scripture says. Because when we talk about our worship of God, surely it needs to be part of all whom we are and also all that we do in daily life. When we think of Jesus and the words he gave at the Great Commission in Matthew 28, he tells his disciples to go and to make disciples of all nations, which is a call to invite people, to invite ordinary people like you and me to live as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, and to live this holy life that he calls us to, a life that is worthy of this calling. It's a call that envisions and brings to life our worship of God, and to see it as being inextricably linked to the way that we would live out our lives in daily living. So the question for all of us is, how important is it to see worship as lifestyle and to see that as being a key to our discipleship? Up on the screen is a quotation, a very famous quotation from a former Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, who said that to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, and to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God. If we were to leap forward a number of years, whilst that is an incredible definition of what worship is, Richard Foster says this, that to worship is to experience reality. It is to touch life. It is to know, it is to feel, it is to experience the resurrected Christ in the midst of a gathered community. It is the breaking into, he says, the Shekinah of God, or better yet, being invaded by the Shekinah of God. And what we mean by the Shekinah of God is simply the glory or the radiance of God who desires to dwell amidst his people by his Holy Spirit. The Shekinah of God denotes the immediate presence of God that we can find in the midst of daily life. That acts in complete contrast to what some people think, that the God whom we worship is someone who is just away out there. Someone who is abstract, someone who is aloof. Surely it is a reminder that this is a reminder that God in every generation is actively seeking people like you and me who have a zeal or a passion to worship him with our lives. Jesus himself said that the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For such the Father seeks to persuade him. For me, and I hope for you, that reminds us that it is always God Himself who seeks to draw us, to persuade us to worship Him. And so therefore, the worship that we offer back will always be our human response to what is always God's divine initiative. This is about viewing worship as lifestyle that touches every aspect of how we live out life, that should become an integral part of our discipleship, so that we would want to live and others would see in us the life of authenticity. In other words, to live as authentic Christians. That's why these opening verses of Romans chapter 12 are so important, because in essence they are a call to transformative worship. And why? Well, because transformation lies at the very heart of the Christian faith. From the very time that the Spirit of God descended upon the first disciples in that upper room in Jerusalem on the first Pentecost, our God has been in the business of transforming the lives of individual believers within the context of local Christian community. Therefore, surely, within every Christian church community, we would want to see on a regular basis that evidence of lives being changed as we allow God to touch us and to change us by His Spirit from the inside out. Let us remind ourselves of these words that we've just read, where Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, that this is your true and proper worship. And do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed." There's that word again, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. "Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." That phrase that I've highlighted there, "do not conform to the pattern of this world," is really saying that we're called not to live according to the values or the morals or the standards that we so often sadly see in the world around us, but that we would live lives that would allow us to be transformed by the renewal of our minds, and all so that we might discover what is God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for you and for me that we can find in the midst of daily life. The message, therefore, is to be transformed. If there is one, even two words that you take away this morning, it's God saying to you this morning, be transformed. Be open to seek this transformation that God wants to do within you from the inside out, and to see that as being your true worship of God. So first of all, what does it mean to be transformed? Well, the word itself is derived from the Greek word, which means literally to change into another form. From that we get the English word metamorphosis. I can never say it, but it's there, you can see it. A word used, for example, you probably go back to school times, we see it in natural science to describe the change, for example, from an ugly caterpillar into a beautiful butterfly. It means literally changing from one form into another form, which is nature's way of bringing about change. But what we see in the New Testament is that this word is used also to describe what happened to Jesus on that story when he went with three others to the Mount of Transfiguration. In Matthew's Gospel, reminds us that after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, those three of his closest friends, John, the brother of James, and he led them high up a mountain by themselves. And there he was transfigured. Transformed, that's what transfigured means. He was transformed before them. His face shone like the sun. and his clothes became as white as the light. Suddenly, can you imagine being there? In that moment, Jesus suddenly appeared different before them. He had transformed before their very eyes. And seeing this glimpse of the divine Jesus, who is God, caused within them a deep spiritual experience in their lives, who witnessed this. And Peter, James, and John, for the first time, caught Jesus in all his glory, and it changed them. And now here in Romans 12, Paul is saying that the proof of our worship will be seen in the evidence of a transformed life. A transformed life when we allow God, by his Holy Spirit, to change us from the inside out, changing the way that you think and the way that you live. Surely there needs to be this evidential change, that you change from the person you were before you met Jesus to become a new person after you meet with Jesus. We need to note here that the passive voice used in this verse, Paul says to all of us, be transformed, which is in essence is saying, allow yourselves to be what? Continually transformed. This transformation process is not something that happens to you, even at the time of conversion. God is continually, from conversion onwards, is continually wanting to change us from the inside out. This process of spiritual transformation is something that you need to allow God to do in your life. It's something that you can't do by your own efforts. It is always a work of the Holy Spirit living within us. Paul encapsulates this when writing to the Christians in Corinth, when he talks about us becoming a new creation in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, Paul writes, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. In other words, transformation has begun. So secondly, what is the goal of this transformation? And first of all is to say it is to simply and yet profoundly to help us to become more like Jesus. Listen again to Paul writing to the Christians at Corinth. He says this, and we all, that is we who are on this business of allowing us to be transformed, we who are unveiled with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being what? Transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Surely this is what every Christian strives for. That even this morning as we arrived at church, that you have this longing that has been birthed within you, that you want to become more than anything else, more and more like Jesus. And let me tell you, this is a journey that never ends and can never become fully complete in this life. And why? Because of our continuing fallibility, because of our human weakness, our susceptibility to sin. That's why we began this service this morning with the need to confess our sins before God. But yet, it still remains the goal for every Christian that gives you this morning, a purpose for living. This is our worship to the Lord that really matters. This is why Paul says, present or offer your body. In other words, offer all that you are. Body, mind, soul, spirit. Offer everything as this living sacrifice, as being holy and acceptable to God. And why again? Because this call to worship as lifestyle embraces what it means to live sacrificially unto the Lord. One of my favorite songs that Robin Mark has written, he's written many that are, but one of his iconic songs expresses what this call to sacrificial living means. You've sung it many times. Jesus, all for Jesus, all that I am and ever hope to be, all my ambitions, my hopes and plans, I surrender these into your hands. We must never forget that to live a life of worship will always be sacrificial. And why? Because we are called to follow the example of Jesus. This Jesus who himself, as we know, became a living sacrifice for us on the cross. The writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews 10 and verse 5 says, in trying to put into words what happened to Jesus on the cross, said this, that this is why that when Christ came into the world, he actually said to God his Father, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me this body, says Jesus, to offer back to you. As we focus in on the, as we need to do on a regular basis, on the story of the cross of Christ, we need to see and be amazed at what an incredible sacrifice this is. That our Lord Jesus came into the world to offer himself, to offer his body, and to do so as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. It's because of what Jesus has done is the reason why we're here this morning. And we surely are called to follow his example, where we might not be called to follow him to the cross, but yet Jesus talks about taking up the cross and following him. And what he's trying to say there is that this is what it means to live out this transformed life as our worship to God. That we need to sacrifice ourselves more. We need to be more sacrificial in our actions than perhaps we've been up to this point. The question I find myself asking most is, why do we so often settle for so much less? Why are we at times prepared to give so little for the cause of Christ and for the building of his kingdom? I have to say that the older that I get, the more I have come to realize, looking back even over my own life, just how much you do hold back. How easy it is to confess with our lips that we live this totally surrendered life. Whence, while saying it with our lips deep down, you know that actually we all fall lamentably short of what God expects from us in this regard. Then thirdly and finally, what is it that motivates us? What is our motivation to even seek this transformed life? This sacrificial life that we've been talking about, to offer this as our true worship. And to simply say to you, surely it's all because of the mercy of God. Isn't that what Paul says at the beginning here in verse 1? That it's in view of God's mercy. It's when we contemplate God's mercy, when we think of what God has done for us in Christ, it's only then that we are able to really offer ourselves as this living sacrifice. It's about acknowledging what enabled you to become a Christian in the first place. That's how any of us come to know the Lord. We come to discover Jesus as our Savior. When we come to that place in life when you know that you need to be totally dependent upon the mercy of God, that it is only by God's mercy that any of us can make our peace with God. It is only because of God's mercy that will drive you to your knees to cry out to God, to seek the forgiveness of sins, to plead with God that our sins that are part of our past would remain in our past, would no longer have this hold that it so often does over our lives. That it is only by God's mercy that none of us ever deserve that we can receive the incredible gift of forgiveness from God. That we can receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit who comes to live within us. To receive the gift of eternal life that we will live forever. Friends, when you think of this mercy of God being at work in your life, does that not move you this morning? Does it not move all of us of our need to constantly repent of our apathy? Sometimes, sadly, our indifference towards these great truths that we see in God's Word, towards the mercy of God, that maybe even this morning, you want to ask God just to birth something new within you, to birth even a fresh hunger, a fresh longing, desire to have more of God in your life. You see, this is the transformed life that Paul is talking about. That we would experience more and more of God in our lives. The motivation for this transformation is always due and based to the love of Jesus. Paul puts it brilliantly in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Either way, Paul writes, it is Christ's love who controls us. And since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old self. We've died to that way of life that we had before we met Jesus. To acknowledge that this Jesus, he died for everyone. So that those who receive new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, we live to a new master. We will live for Christ. This Christ who died and was raised for them. You see, this is the love of Christ that compelled the great apostle Paul just to want to live more and more for Jesus. Not to live the transformed life means that the only alternative is to be, as Paul says in Romans 12:1, that we will live lives conformed to this world and not to the things of God. I often ask, why is it that instead of choosing to live for Jesus, we choose to live for ourselves more than we think? And we seek to sometimes to embrace thinking and behavior patterns that in reality may reflect anything but a godly pattern for living. Why are we so reticent to embrace even the means of grace that God in his mercy gives us to live out this transformed life? The incredible gift of prayer, the incredible gift of searching the scriptures, the incredible gift of fasting, the incredible gift of coming and receiving Holy Communion. And those are just some. These means of grace or spiritual disciplines are what helps you to engage with God. Talk with God when you pray. Search the scriptures. Allow God to speak to you through his word. The discipline of fasting will simply demonstrate your intentionality, that you want to do serious business with God. And coming to Holy Communion, to see it as a meeting with Christ, a meeting with God, meeting with God through the bread and the wine. And to meet God too as we leave and live life through many acts of personal service. This is the time of the year in January when Methodist people at the beginning of New Year celebrate the covenant service. And The founder of Methodism, John Wesley, described the covenant service as a time for Methodist people to renew with one heart and one voice our covenant relationship with God. It's a service that provides opportunity at the beginning of every new year to renew our personal commitment that we want to continue to be on the journey of discipleship. And Wesley delights to note that covenant renewal, when he was writing about it, was an occasion when, this is what he wrote, it was an occasion when the windows of heaven were open, when God did appear in the midst of the congregation, when the Spirit of glory, I love these words, as usual, rested upon them. Those must have been some gatherings. Wouldn't it be amazing if God came by His Spirit this morning? That the very gateway to heaven was open this morning? That God would come to Dollingstown and appear here in the midst of this congregation? When the Spirit of glory, the divine presence of Jesus, that you would feel it. That it would be resting upon us, loving us, challenging us, calling us to go deeper with our God. In the presence of God and filled with the Holy Spirit, there will always be a desire, a hunger, to freely surrender our lives to Christ. To have this zeal or passion to follow Jesus in daily life as a mission-shaped disciple. Surely this is the worship that God calls us to today. What will your response be? Let us pray. Father, just before we sing again, we just want to allow God's word just to speak into our hearts. Wherever we might be in our spiritual journey, God is here present by His Spirit. And He wants to take all of us just one step further from where we are at the moment. We thank you, Jesus, for your incredible sacrifice on the cross, which is the means by which we come to know you. We thank you for the incredible gift of the Holy Spirit who comes to live within us, that gives us the power that enables us to live our lives as this true worship that you call us to. Holy Spirit, just come. And touch us afresh. May we feel you near this morning. Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your presence. Help us, Lord, particularly as we move from this place to continue our daily living. May even in this coming week be a time a fresh encounter with you. And we offer ourselves to you this morning, Lord, as this living sacrifice. Take all that we offer, for we do it in the name of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We'll sing two songs.